Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
We moving and grooving. Ooh.
What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back once again. And being back once again means what? You still alive. You still here to be back once again. That means you already blessed coming in. If you seeing something again, that means you still here to see it. Blessing right there. Out the gate, man. I was blessed when I woke up this morning. When my eyelids parted. Blessings, man. We out here with the blessings, man. I want y'all to take tabs on the blessings that you have. I know we highlight the negative. I'm guilty of it too. We highlight the negative. Whatever we don't like, we fixate on the negative. The negative stays with us all day. But let's count them blessings, man. Let's see what the blessings looking like. Let's hold on to those blessings right there. All right? Let's hold on. Count those blessings, man. You got them. I know you do. I know they're all around you. A lot of times we overlook the blessings because we focus on the negative. We focus on what we ain't got. We focus on what's hurting, what's this, what's that. And then we just bypass those blessings, man. But we want to focus on the blessings. My blessings is I'm here another week. Healthy enough to speak, healthy enough to sit up with my coherent thought, healthy enough to be talking to y'all, healthy enough to be in the studio. You know what I'm saying? Blessed enough to be in the studio, blessed enough to have a background that Amir set up himself. Amir is a blessing on the ones and twos. The fact that he exists is a blessing right there. And he got blessings on top of the blessings of him being a blessing. He got blessings of his own. You know what I'm saying? We all got the blessings out here. We just got to take tabs, man, collect, and note them. Note the blessings, man. Note them. Talk about them out loud before you lose them. And then you be like, man, that was a blessing. I never even talked about that blessing that was a blessing. Now I'm out here blessingless. But even when you think you're blessingless, you still got the blessing somewhere. Because if you're mindful enough to take tabs on the blessings, that's a blessing right there because you mindful. So it's really hard to shake the blessings, man. And I'm blessed to have the patron sainthood in here. Deep. Y'all deep on a Tuesday. Why y'all so deep this week? Why y'all so deep this week? Shout out to the patron saints in here. Tony Ant, G-Man, Zakia, Javon, Tiff-tastic, Chase Ali, Sherry Tucker, David Williams, Carla Renee, Styler, Ray Guns, Cat James, Tanya R., King Panda, Sarita Houston. Yo, Sarita Houston and I went to Cracker Barrel together in North Carolina. It was a good time. We had crispy edges. You know what I'm saying? Great time. Shout out to her. I can't wait to see her again. Sharon McD, QDB, Sherry Tucker, Kristen R., Markiki, Miss Moya G., Clarence Branch. That sounds like serious business right there. Brandon Preston, Miss Miles FTW, Shayla Butler, Jawan, Coco, Trey Porter, Chris McNeil, Tanya R, Analog Future, Randomly CJ, the usual suspects in here, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Thank you for being patron saints. Thank y'all for going the extra mile for your boy, unlike some people in the IG Live. Because some people in the IG Live won't make the commitment. Y'all just want to like me and support me from afar where it's easy. Y'all don't want to go in fully all the way in on the real support. Hmm? I'm talking to y'all. That's why I'm pointing with the thumb in the back. Cock that hammer. Join the Patreon, man. Talk is cheap, y'all. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. No, don't tell me to calm down. Don't tell me to calm down. Ain't that what they say? Don't tell me to relax. Don't tell me to calm down. That's a trigger for a lot of people. Don't you tell me to calm down. I'm saying my piece. Voice shaking. Join that Patreon. Join that Patreon. Let me see how many of y'all join. Hold on. Let me see how many of you join the Patreon. Hold on. Let's see what's going on. See, I got free membership, but the free membership ain't going to get you the benefits. That ain't going to get you the benefits. Okay, shout out to Paul. Shout out to Wasina. Shout out to Susie P. Meek Meek. Eric Knight. Monet Barnett. Chris Mungo. Chance McNair. Rob Edwards. I need more, though. I need seven more. What's up, Leola? Leola Bell. What's up, y'all? I need 10 more. I want 10 new members right here, right now. 10 new members. I see you, Susie P. Thank you. I want to talk about some things, man. The clip I posted of me and Kev talking fatness. You know what I'm saying? Kev went off on me talking about, man, just let me be fat. Not everybody is you. So that created a conversation. And some people in the comment section accused me of fat shaming. And I was like, wait, what? Wait, hold on, man. Fat shaming, you're doing too much. And some people have a vision of me that's not accurate. All right? I'm all about accountability. That's how I roll. I don't walk around here saying, yo, everybody need to be slim. But one thing I don't like are excuses and lack of accountability. And I know that people can take the necessary steps to lose weight if they indeed want to lose weight. And when people say they want to lose weight, that's when I activate. That's when I start running my mouth. That's when I start holding you accountable. That's when I start being like, yo, why you order that? Because you made it clear to me that you want to lose weight. And if you want to lose weight, I'm going to hold you accountable. And the thing is, people get mad at me because I'm on their necks after they said I want to lose weight. For whatever reason that might be, you told me you wanted to lose weight. And so, and Kev was talking about, man, it's genetics. Genetics does play a factor in how your body is set up. Yes, but it's a smaller percentage than diet and exercise, guaranteed, every time. All right? Now, Kev was talking about, so, you know, genetically, he's supposed to be big. But here's the thing, so am I. I come from on my mom's side of the family, my mom is tall. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother was tall with some heft on it. She was big, tall with some heft. My Uncle Carlton, tall with some heft. You know what I'm saying? My dad has that heft, got some height on him. You know what I'm saying? So I come from size. I come from a big family. We tall with some heft. I was 10 pounds when I came out of my mother. I debuted at 10 pounds. When you talk genetics and being big, I came out with the heft. Debut opening day. I'm out the gate big. Shoulders got stuck in the whole nine. So genetically, I'm supposed to be big as well. But guess what, though? Guess what? I got to take accountability for the food I take in and the exercise. Yeah, I'm naturally going to be big, but that don't mean I go overboard. That don't mean I eat the bullshit. That don't mean, you know what I'm saying, I go overboard with the calories and the saturated fats and the sugars and the added chemicals and all that stuff. And we all know, and we've all said this several times, we all know that the American food system is trash. We know this. We know that they pump our foods up full of bullshit. That's why when you go overseas, you go international somewhere, and you out there eating food, you out there clinking the glasses, you out there partaking in the cuisine of international dieting, you come back with weight loss 8 times out of 10. You come back like, yo, how did I lose weight out there? I was eating. That's because the American food system is one of the worst on the planet. They be chalking this food up full of bullshit. And that's what we grew up on. We grew up on that from kids all the way up to now. This is what we're eating. Stuff we're not supposed to be eating. We eating big portions. We eating bullshit. So even though you may be genetically, you know, disposed to be a certain size, you still doing too much. That's not an excuse to just let everything go. People still making bad choices on what they eat. Even when you think you eating healthy, you not. I had a mix up recently when I was at Mendocino Farms drinking the green juice. I thought I hit pay dirt. I was like, man, this is it, man. I done found the green juice. I could partake. I was going to town on that green juice. I thought it was just kale and lemon juice and ginger and arugula. I'm going to work. I'm like, man, I'm tripling up. I'm going over there like, I'm dancing to the goddamn fountain machine. I was like, oh, I've been waiting for something like this. I was posting it on my stories, man. It was like that episode of Seinfeld when they thought they was eating the fat-free yogurt, and then they all gained weight. They thought they hit the jackpot. They was like, man, the fat-free yogurt, man, we can go all in. And then all of them got bigger. That was me, because I found out the girl that worked there is like, yeah, we put sugar in that. And I was like, no, no. Because I haven't been eating, you know, foods with added sugars like that. I've been watching it. So I thought the coast was clear. I thought all the ingredients was right here on the label. She's like, nah, it's about 25 grams of sugar in that. And I was like, you motherfuckers. I was devastated. But when you look at the products that we eating out here, you look at the bullshit we take in day in and day out, it's processed. Whenever you eat out, when I went to Terra Rose, it was a health facility, and I got my blood work done and I got a complete workup, and they was just like, you know, on this lifestyle change, it wasn't a diet, it was a lifestyle change. You need to read the labels, you need to count the calories, you need to count the fat, and you need to count the sugar per serving. And they said, this is a lifestyle change. This is what you need to be mindful of going forward. And they said, don't eat out. Don't eat out. Because the vast majority of these restaurants you go eat at, they putting in extra shit. You don't know all the ingredients. Even if they give you the nutrition facts, they fudging the numbers. They pumping in all other kinds of bullshit. But we don't want to be held accountable on that. We don't want to take the responsibility. And a lot of people, we're all made differently. So whatever diet works for one person is not necessarily going to work for you. So everybody that's claiming like, you know, I eat this diet and I'm still big. Well, I do this and I'm still big. Well, you might not be doing things correctly. If you notice no change in size and you're doing all the things, you're exercising, you're eating, you know, eating well, you got to monitor, am I really eating well? Do I think I'm eating healthy? And is what I'm eating matching my body type and how I process food? You got to take into consideration blood type, your genetic makeup, any food allergies, how your body responds to certain food. We're all individuals. So it's not, ain't no cookie cutter diets out here. So even when you think you're killing it diet wise, you might be doing it wrong. You might sit up here and think, I only eat twice a day and I can't lose weight. Well, you might be eating too little. When you eat too little, your metabolism is slow. So that means your body is just like, I'm going to hold on to this fat since you barely eating. So that could be a reason why you're not seeing any change in your body type, even though you don't eat that much. You might need to eat more. You know, you see certain people that, certain actors, you know, they bulk up for a role. And, you know, they be like, man, I was eating 6,000 calories a day. They bulked up and then they lose the weight right away. Because some people are born, just like some people are born big and they got that disposition, some people have the disposition to be skinny and thin. And they can't really put on weight. Even when they try, they be like, man, I can't put on weight. They can. They just have to do extra steps to achieve what they want to achieve. Like if you have a problem putting on weight, that means you got to go extra to put the weight on. You got to eat more or you got to lift more, whatever. And on the other side of that spectrum, you know, if you want to lose weight, you got to do more. You got to go harder at your caloric deficit, or you got to rule out certain things and you got to exercise more. So we got to offset the genetic disposition. Instead of just quitting and being like, it's genetics. No, man, just really tap in and see what your body truly needs for it to see a sustainable change. Because I guarantee you, if they threw us all in a starvation chamber for a month and we just drinking water and eating two peas a day, everybody in that bitch is losing weight. Regardless of your genetic makeup, we all going to lose weight. We're going to be withering away in that bitch. It's not going to be like, oh, since you genetically big from DNA and genetics, you just going to stay big even though you're starving for 30 days. Come on, y'all. Come on, man. Let's cut the shit. That's all I ask. Let's cut the shit. All right? And let's stop being overly sensitive with this fat shaming stuff. Everything ain't a fat shame. It's accountability shaming. That's what I do. I shame you for not being accountable. I'll be like, oh, you ain't gonna be accountable. Shame on you. That's what I do. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? Anyway, let me cut y'all. Cause my patron saints are just, all they doing is talking about scissors over here. They're not even chiming into the conversation. All they saying is cut. Cut the feed, cut the feed, cut the feed. So they want me to cut off the IG live. They want me to cut it off. Let me see if I got the 10 new members in here before I cut it off, man. So if y'all don't want to miss a beat, if y'all don't want to miss what I'm about to say about Diddy and them, you know what I'm saying? Let's see. No, I don't have the 10 yet. I don't have the 10 yet. I want the 10 new members of my Patreon. Come on. Let's get it. But be accountable for everything you do. That's all I ask. Be accountable for joining my Patreon, man. Join it right now. I'm about to cut the feed off. Y'all going to miss everything. And this is that and the third. You cut it, I'm blowing. Shan, you should have the link. I see you in the YouTube. I see Shan in here, right? Ain't you in the YouTube, Shan? Didn't I see you over here? Stop being petty. Now, how am I being petty? What am I being petty about? Is Shan in the YouTube Patreon chat? Oh, Shan, I don't know why your links never work, Shan. I put the link on top of the post and I put it in the bottom part of the post. Somebody send Shoe Game Shan the link. I don't know why she never gets the link. I do need glasses, Cecil. Okay, see, how'd you get in here, Shan? How'd you get in? Who brought you in there? All right. I'm cutting this off, though. If y'all want to keep watching this, join my Patreon. Click the link in my bio. Click that Patreon tab. Join up. All right. Okay. Oh, your email. Okay. Boom. So now you know it's going to be your email from here on out. Sick of you not being in there, man. I've had it. Anyway, let me pay this rent real quick. Let me pay this rent real quick. All right. Prize Picks. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members, man. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Because that's what it's all about. When you play fantasy football, it's all about, all right, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And then I'm going to get the points for that. And so you just predicting, you know what I mean? Like one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free free W's. That's 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss the deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. So if you act now, you can make a pick like that. Every yard, Caleb gonna get you a yard. Even though we just lost. We just lost the Bears. You know what I'm saying? We lost to the Texans. He can still get you a yard. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in most states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You want to play Prize Picks along Drewski, Joe Budden, and MMA champ Sugar Sean O'Malley? You can now. You can find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in Prize Picks community each week. So Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks, your picks are still alive. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. And when my picks hit, one can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. That's quick money. That's quick money. All right? And you want the quick money. We all need that quick money. So I like it. I like the fact that, you know, you can keep up with the players and the stats, and you can just pick. Like, all right, you know, they're going to get – they're going to do this for this game. And you can just mix and match and how you feeling. If you feel good about a certain player, you can be like, all right, they're going to get 5 yards here. You know what I'm saying? 6 on this. And it's very easy. Like, for example, Tariq Hill for more than 90 receiving yards and Dak Prescott for more than 263 pass yards. Or Josh Allen for less than 240 pass yards. CeeDee Lamb for more than 96 receiving yards. And then boom. You go from there. So you can download the Prize Pick app today and use the code VERBAL and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code VERBAL on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Prize Picks is that app that's it's really easy. Like, it's a no-brainer. If you into sports, get in on it. You know what I'm saying? There's ways to spend as little as possible, and then you can come up. That'd be a nice little source of income, really. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? But, you know, who am I to say? Anyway, get in on that, man. Get the Prize Pick app today and use the code VERBAL, and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. $5 to get you 50. That's a good ass time right there, man. You know what I'm saying? Prize Picks, y'all. Prize Picks. All right. Now we back. I'm surprised the Eagles lost last night. I'm surprised. And I was up against Shan. I was up against Shan this week in the fantasy. I'm going to just leave it at that. Shan, you in here? Shan, where you at? Shan, where you at? Shawty, where you at, Shan? Shan, where you at? Where you at, Shan? Oh, you gone now? You gone, shoe game, Shan? Where you at? Yeah, oh, yeah. I won this week. I'm 2-0. I gotta savor these wins while I can because I know I'm going to hit a slump. 2-0. This might be my last week of winning. I don't know, man. You never can tell. You never can tell. So, I want to talk about some things that annoy me, as usual. So, I watched the interview between Charlamagne Tha God and Kevin Hart. And the thing I noticed with the Cat Williams interview earlier in the year that set the world ablaze is that people have their dogs in a fight. You like who you like better, and you rock with them wholeheartedly. So, you know, a lot of people love to, they can't wait to say, Kevin Hart ain't funny to me. He not that funny to me. He just not funny. Y'all can't wait to say it, to type it. You can't, as soon as you see him, he not that funny to me. You just can't wait. So when you see Cat Williams and he go in on Kevin Hart or whatever, or any type of comedian, y'all are like, yeah. Everything, 100% of everything he said was true because I like him better than them. So you ride that wave, right? You ride that. And we all have our biases. I'm not going to lie. You know what I mean? Like, you know, during the Jay-Z Nas beef, I was Nas McGee. I was Nas McGee. So when Cat Williams was like, yo, Kevin Hart is a plant, y'all rock with that. People were holding that wholeheartedly. I knew it. Same with the Kendrick and Drake beef. You don't like Drake for whatever reason. So now that him and Kendrick are going at it, you super like, Kendrick. I knew it. No longer giving credit where credit is due. None of that. You just over the top. I'm rocking with this guy. Forget what's true and what's not true, man. I'm rocking with this guy, and whatever they say is truth. So that's how the ball is carried, right? And so the thing with Kevin Hart is when Cat Williams accused him of being a plant, everybody took that and ran with it. They were like, oh, yeah, he did come out of nowhere. He did. He was never funny to me. I just never got it. So, ran with it. But from my eyes, watching them both, you know, being fans of both of them, I saw Kevin Hart's rise. You know, I saw him do, you know, Paper Soldiers and, you know, being in these little small projects. And when people say they came out of nowhere, did they really? Did they really come out of nowhere? Like nobody has ever called Eddie Murphy a plant. Eddie Murphy's first movie was 48 Hours. That was his first movie. Second billing to Nick Nolte, already an established actor. Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live for a short period of time, blew up fast, 48 Hours. Nobody was like, yo, man, where Eddie Murphy come from? How you get on Saturday Night Live? Nah, man, it's too quick. That's too fast. You know? But nobody was like, nah, he's a plant, man. They planted him there. It just so happens. Sometimes shit happens quick. For certain people, you get the right project and then boom, you out of here. You in the stratosphere. You know what I'm saying? Macaulay Culkin blew up relatively fast. Uncle Buck, maybe he was in another movie or two that you didn't notice him in or you didn't see. He was in Uncle Buck. Next thing you know, he at home alone. Boom, stratosphere. So sometimes you make a hell of a debut or whatever. Kev had a slower rise. It wasn't like years and years and years and decades in the making, but it was a rise though. You could see it. Paper Soldiers was underground black. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a major thing. So then it was like, so I was like, he has 6 credits before Soul Plane. And people are like, no, how he get the lead in Soul Plane? How he get the lead that quick? How he get his own TV show that got canceled and never got put to air? So y'all counting a failed sitcom as plant activity? Let me explain to y'all how shit used to work in the game. If you were a funny comedian, you got offered deals for sitcoms and shows. If you had a fire 5-minute set on television anywhere, or you were making noise in the comedy circuit, you got a sitcom. They was handing them shits out like trick-or-treat candy back in the day. Oh man, you was funny for them 5 minutes, man. Let's develop a show, man. Let's get them in the holding deal. Let's develop a sitcom. Steve Harvey had a show called Me and the Boys before I knew who Steve Harvey was. It was called Me and the Boys. It was on primetime television. Me and the Boys? I just watched it because it was a black show. It was a black dad with his sons. I was like, I don't know who this dude is, but I'm tuning in. I didn't know who Thea was when she had a TV show. I was like, who is Thea Vidal? I never heard of this woman. I didn't care. I watched the TV show. I didn't need to be like, oh, I remember her from this, 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 and this. When Tim Allen came out with Home Improvement, I might have seen one stand-up clip of him before I saw Home Improvement. He wasn't a big movie star then. They used to make stars based on a person's stand-up. Ray Romano, where the fuck did he come from? In my eyes, I'm like, who was Ray Romano? Who the hell is Kevin James? Who's this Kevin James guy? We just tuned into a funny TV show. So Kevin Hart got the big house. I didn't know who Kevin Hart was at the time, but also I never even heard of the big house because it never got a chance to even release. So how is that plant maneuvering? If he was a plant, they would have made sure that show aired. They'd have pumped millions of dollars into us watching the big house. If somebody's truly a plant, right? They're gonna put the money up. They're gonna put those shows on the air. They're gonna give you 5 episodes. Keep them running. Keep them running. You know how they did Seinfeld? Seinfeld, the first season was like 5-6 episodes. They were like, all right, let's give this comedian a shot. We don't know. And then the second season, they were like, oh, maybe well, let's give him a few more episodes. That was a slow burn. And Seinfeld was just a stand-up comedian before that. That's it. He didn't have no movies. He didn't have no fire cameo role in a hit comedy. None of that. He was just a stand-up comedian. So I was like, this plant stuff, I'm just like, but we literally saw his rise. And then he said once the big house failed, and then Soul Plane got super bootlegged. Soul Plane got bootlegged, and they were like, yo, how'd he get the lead? How'd he get the lead in Soul Plane? He auditioned for the role, and Jesse Torero, who directed it, was like, yo, I like this guy right here. That happens in Hollywood. Sometimes they just like you, even without the credits, even without the hits behind you. They'd be like, but this is something about this particular person. I'm going to go ahead and take a gamble. You don't already have to be an established star to star in a film. When Juice came out, I didn't know who the fuck Tupac was. I didn't know who Omar Epps was. But those were the guys on the poster. I didn't know who they were. And before y'all come in here and say, well, Pac was Pac. Pac was not Pac then. I didn't even correlate Digital Underground with that man in that movie. I was just like, who are these people? I didn't even know Tupac rapped until after I saw Juice. I was like, oh, yeah, Brenda's got a baby. Yo, that's the dude from Juice. But still, they on the poster. They on the poster. You know what I mean? Who was Omar Epps? Who was Khalil Kane? I don't know these guys. None of you knew who Cuba Gooding Jr. was when Boys in the Hood came out. Who the hell is Morris Chestnut? We knew Ice Cube, sure, but the other cats in there, who was there with the gold shirt on in the black circle? We didn't know who Cuba Gooding Jr. was. Are we calling Cuba Gooding Jr. a plant because he got the lead in Boys in the Hood, so. You know what I mean? So it's just like, what are we talking about? There were a lot of films back in the day that was led by people we didn't know. We didn't know who they were. You know what I mean? Shit, Lorenz Tate and Tyron Turner leading Menace to Society. Who were they at the time? We seen them in little small roles here and there, but who were they to lead the film? So that happened all the time. And then when you go back and you really do your research and you really look at the trailer for Soul Plane, which is not this huge movie y'all think it is. The budget was like $16 million. It's not this huge, expensive comedy. Like, you know what I'm saying? $50 million. We're putting $50 million on the line for this. If you look at the poster for Soul Plane, Kevin Hart is tucked off in the middle. They showing you Monique, D.L. Hughley, Snoop. I think Katie Albert was in it, Method Man. They showing Tom Arnold. They showing you names. They put them on the poster, and they got Kev tucked off in the middle. You barely see him because it's like an ensemble piece. They're selling you the Soul Plane premise, not the star of the movie. And then when you go look at the trailer for Soul Plane, Kevin Hart is barely in the trailer. The first person you see is Snoop. Snoop is all throughout that trailer. And then you barely see Kevin Hart. So they're not even selling the movie on this unknown guy. They're selling it on the ensemble and the premise. So when y'all say, oh, he was the star in Soul Plane, but was he really? Is his face all over the poster? Is it just him and the airplane behind him? No, it's an ensemble. So that's not what you think it is. So Kevin Hart, off of that, off the notoriety of the bootlegging of Soul Plane, and off, you know, how dope Paper Soldiers was in the streets, people were coming to see his comedy show. So he just fully dove into the comedy grind. And that's when he started bubbling, when he was collecting emails and doing all these shows. He said he grinded for like 5 years doing stand-up, which is totally believable. And how he built his name up. And then, you know, getting the right roles, getting small roles here and there. His scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin is one of the best Kevin Hart scenes to date. That little few minutes he was on camera with Romany Malco arguing in the tech store, that's one of the best scenes he's done in film. And that stood out. And it was like, yo, man, that shit was funny. So when he comes to your town, hey, that's the dude from the 40-Year-Old Virgin, man, I'm pulling up on that. And then he was on Def Jam, then he was on this, and then he was on the Shaq All-Stars, and then boom, 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 pow. You can track the trajectory of Kevin Hart. So it's right there. It's not like he came out of nowhere. And that's what y'all are running with in the comment section, because you don't like Kevin Hart. That's what it boils down to. You don't like him. So you want it to be that. For whatever reason, you want it to be that. And it's not the case. All you got to do is look at the track record. So I just thought that was interesting. And it's just interesting to see how people just respond to picking sides and their biases and how they move. And it's just like, oh, okay, I see what y'all doing. I see it with the Kendrick and Drake beef. I see it with the Cat Williams and Kevin Hart stuff too. But if you're not really versed in the track record of stuff, if you're not really digging into the movies and the comedy and the career path, then you don't really know what you're talking about. That'd be my thing. Like, just do research. Just look it up. Look at the trends and the trajectory of other stuff that was before that. Like the examples I gave to you, Juice, Tupac and Omar Epps being the leads in Juice when nobody heard of these cats. You know what I mean? And before y'all come up in here and say, well, no, Tupac had Tupacalypse Now. Tupacalypse Now was not a hit album. That album was not a smash. You know what I'm saying? That's not the Tupac that you know now. He wasn't the Tupac then. So, you know, it just got to make sense. And that's what I'm saying. Like, when you prepared to go back and forth, when you want to argue, when you want to do all of that, before you even begin your back and forth with people, just say you're biased and that, you know, you got a vendetta right out the gate. Just say you're biased right out the gate. That way you save a lot of time and energy. Because if you bias already off the top, then all right, okay. That way we know what we're dealing with. Because when good counterpoints are made, if I know you're biased out the gate, I probably won't even go back and forth with you. Be like, hey, I'm biased. All right. I'm gonna just put you over there because we can't have a legit back and forth. We can't have a legit back and forth because you biased out the gate. The Kendrick and Drake stuff is a little different, but people have their biases there too. You know, people just dislike Drake for whatever reason. And we do all have biases, but some people can't see beyond their bias. That's my thing. If you can't see beyond your bias, then there's really no point of having a back and forth. If you can't take yourself out of the bias for the sake of the conversation, and without bringing in facts and like objective observations, then what kind of conversation we having? And I think that was the case because, you know, a lot of people were just quick to say such and such ain't funny. Well, you got to be funny to amass the type of audience that these people are acquiring. Like, you know, Matt Rife is the new wave right now. He was funny. And so people are drawn to that. The thing y'all need to remember about stand-up comedy and comedians: not every special is going to hit the same as the special before it across the board. The thing about stand-up comedy is going to be different every time in terms of, let's say you see me at the Comedy Store on a Thursday in March. I had you dying, man. Tony Baker was hilarious in March. Man, whoo! You come back and see me in November, I might not be as funny as I was in March. I might have been funny in November, but, you know, but March, though. March was when... That's stand-up comedy all day. You know? The amount of laughs can change one false move. You can see me... You can see me on Thursday and then come see me again on Friday. You'd be like, yeah, Friday was better than Thursday. Comedy is tough. I say this all the time. Comedy is tough. It's tough to hit it out the park every single time. And when we see comedians that we like and we love, we want you to hit it out the park every single time. But that's incredibly hard to do. And so these comedians with these comedy specials, it be hit and miss. They be hit and miss. All of them. It's peaks and valleys on these comedy specials. All these comedians with like mad comedy specials, they do this. Or some just do this and just keep It just depends. It depends on the special. And that's just me being real. Like, you know, I'm not saying, I'm not going to name names in particular, but let's be real. Every comedy special ain't going to hit the same. And, you know, y'all be saying, well, Kevin Hart special, this special was better than this, and then this, this, that, and the third. Every comedian, all these comedians with multiple comedy specials, you're going to see one and be like, that just wasn't as good. You know, ups and downs, backs and forths. You know, I'll be watching comedy specials. I'll be like, but since these are my colleagues, I'm not going to be saying who, because I'm also a comedian. And I'm also be relegated. If I put out a bunch of specials, that's going to happen to me too, where people are going to be like, at last Tony Baker comedy special just wasn't hitting the same. Or I don't see what the hype is. I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I just want people to be more objective. And yes, we all have our biases. Sure, we all have them. But I just want people to be able to step out of that bias for just a second and be real. And give credit where credit is due. That's another thing. If you can't give credit where credit is due, then I don't want to go back and forth with you. Like, if you can't give credit where credit is due, what are we talking about? Like, some people didn't believe that Drake would turn down a Super Bowl performance that he was offered. Like, man, they ain't offer him the Super Bowl. Why would he turn? First of all, why would you doubt that they offered Drake a Super Bowl performance? However you feel about Drake, hate him or love him, he's one of the biggest artists on the planet right now. He's one of the most consistent hit makers we've ever seen. Regardless of how you feel, your little opinion, I ain't never liked Drake. Well, guess what? You ain't everybody. And Drake has been putting out hits for a long time at a high level and a consistent level. So him being offered the Super Bowl is a no-brainer. If they got offered The Weeknd the Super Bowl, Rihanna the Super Bowl, Shakira and J-Lo the Super Bowl, you think they're not going to come to Drake? They'd be like, Drake, man, you want to do the Super Bowl halftime show? You think he's not going to get the offer? What are we talking about here? He's one of the biggest artists out. And I know he's not in fashion right now because of the Kendrick and Drake beat, but let's be real. Let's be real. You got to give credit where credit is due. That's all I'm saying. And one thing I try to do, Tony, you sound biased towards Drake. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm literally giving credit where credit is due. That's what I'm doing. And if you get triggered to be like, Tony biased because he's giving credit where credit is due, I'm giving you the numbers. I'm giving you the track record that's there to look at with or without me saying anything. Look at Drake's numbers. Look at how many hits he has. That's all I'm doing. I'm just saying, like, yo, Drake is one of the most consistent hit makers around. Look it up. Look at the records he keeps breaking. And that's how we have failures to communicate and failures to go back and forth. Because people are like, man, Tony biased for Drake, man, because he giving credit where credit is due. He's stating the obvious. Am I biased to James Cameron because James Cameron has box office hits? Because James Cameron has three of the highest grossing movies of all time and my bias to James Cameron, just because I'm giving you the legitimate numbers. If I say James Cameron is pound for pound one of the most potent film directors of all time because of his track record for hits, am I being biased towards James Cameron? Or am I just giving you the credit where credit is due? What's really going on? I'm just asking. I'm curious at this point. You're right. I just don't like him. See? And there it is. And when you don't like somebody, you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear the facts. You don't want to hear the numbers. When you dislike somebody, you don't want to hear it. Man, I don't want to hear it, man. I don't care how many albums they sold, man. Watch out, man. He's a bum. Okay. All right. All right. All right. So yeah, man, just stop running with everything you hear just because you dislike somebody. That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making, man. Just because you don't like a person, you know what I'm saying? Don't be running with everything you hear. Jesus. On the silly side of town, I like it when women call me silly. I like that. When a woman says, "You silly," or "You so silly," oh, come on, man. I don't know what it is. That gets me every time. "You so silly." I'll be like, "I'm crazy, huh?" I love it. I love it when a woman tells me that. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it does. I'll be like, "Yeah." It's the way y'all say it. It's the way it comes off. It's the vibe of it, man. I like it. Because I feel like I made you laugh. You just like, "Man, you silly." I'll be like, "Yeah." Because I am silly. But that means, you know what I'm saying, my silliness made you laugh and that made you feel good. So I'm like, "Yeah." That's one of the best things you can say to me as a woman. And any dude will tell you that when we hear that from women, we be like, "Yeah. Okay." Every time. I love to hear it. I love to hear it. And I know I went left on that, you know what I'm saying, compared to what I was, but I like it. I like to hear it. And I'm gonna go through some things I like and dislike on how I like to be talked to. Because we all like to be talked to a certain way. We all got our thing. We like, I like to be talked to like this. And there's certain things I like to be called and certain things I don't like to be called. And I'm gonna run it down. I like to be called. This is how I like to be called. I like to be called Tony, obviously. I also like to be called Anthony. You know what I'm saying? I like to be called Tone, TB, Mr. Baker, Anthony is fine. Ant is fine. OG, Bro, Dog, Cousin. What else? Tony Baker is fine. They say the first and last name. Trying to think of anything else. I mean, you know, cutie patootie, fine, sure. Handsome, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Tuberculosis, no, I'm gonna pass on that one. I'm going to pass on tuberculosis. What I don't like to be called. My guy. Ugh. I hate my guy. I hate my guy. My guy? I hate it. Can't stand it. When I see my guy in the comment section or in the text or anything or just say it, my guy, ugh. I don't know what it is. Because when I see it written down, my guy, I'll be like, ugh. That's the voice I picture, my guy. Because usually it's attached to sarcasm and smartassery, my guy. Chill, my guy. Like, ugh. My guy. I don't like it. I don't like it. Buddy. Buddy, I can't trust your intent with buddy. Buddy is usually disrespectful. Like, you don't really fuck with that person when you say buddy. You know what I'm saying? Buddy over there doing this, this, that, and the third is kind of a slight. And I'll be like, I don't know about buddy. Bucko. I'm like, first of all, people still use bucko. Bucko is wild. Bucko. Pal. Pal. Nah, man. Unk. I don't like unk. I know y'all keep saying it in the chat word. I don't like unk. I don't like to be called that. Unless you really my niece and nephew, don't call me unk. That's for Shannon Sharp and, you know, my nieces and nephews. Don't call me that. You can call Snoop that as well. I don't like it. I prefer it if you didn't call me that. I'm not a fan of the word uncle. Uncle is the ugliest term in the game. There's been times in my comment section where I've been like, I was about to say, hey, don't call me uncle, but I look up and it's really my niece or my nephew. I'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah, love you. You know, I switch up immediately because those are really my nieces and nephews. But if it's a random person, man, watch out, man. Call me something else. Uncle is just unattractive. Uncle. Some words are just trash, man. I'm not a fan of the P word. You know what I'm saying? I say it, but, you know, I'm not really a fan. Pussy? Nah, man. Not really a fan of that word. Not really a fan of it. It kind of, I've never sat comfortable in that. You know, of course I've said it in some frisky moments, sure. But I still don't. You know what I'm saying? Also, don't call me daddy. Don't call me daddy. If you are not my kids, don't call me daddy. Don't call me that. Daddy, nah. Mm-mm. Even if it's good to you. Mm-mm. Don't call me daddy. Nope. Watch out, man. I got kids. Poppy is fine. It's fine. Poppy is fine. It hits different than daddy. Because you know what I'm saying? Because daddy creeps me out. If we're in the throes of pumps, I'm giving it to you good enough to where you want to call me daddy, I'll be like, nah. I don't want to think of that in the moment of no. 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 Don't call me that. Not a fan. I hate the C word. C word is ugly as hell, man. That refers to a woman's, you know, the C word, trash. Not a fan. It never sounds right. It never sounds right. Oh, that's one of the worst words in the game. It's got that you in there. Maybe I'm just not a fan of you. The you sound. The you know, sounds. That's probably not very high on my, you know, words and sounds list. No, not cooch. Cooch is fine. I'm talking about the C word. It's a four-letter word that refers to a woman's. But it's also used as a diss when a woman is acting a certain way. She's called a C word. I'm not a fan. Not a fan. You know what I'm saying? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So yeah, so now y'all know, you know, what I like to be called and what I don't. I gave you insight. Coochie is a good time. I love coochie. I mean, the word, not the... I mean, coochie is fantastic, but I was just saying the word coochie is... All right, man, watch out, man. Look out. Look out, man. I'm moving in a space where I like to be honest. And I'm really enjoying this space where I'm honest and true and transparent as much as possible, because I feel like we owe people honesty. Now, we don't owe people every morsel and ounce of honesty. Like, certain things that are honest to you don't have to be shared. Like, if you don't like somebody's outfit, that's honesty that's not necessary for you to share, unless they ask you. If they ask you, do you like my outfit? Then you could be honest and tell your true opinion. But if they don't ask you, then, you know what I'm saying, you can keep that honesty tucked away. But other things that involve clear communication and where you stand on certain things and how you feel about certain things and the moves that you're making, I feel like the honesty part of it is a good ass time. You know, just being honest about where you are, what you're thinking, how you're feeling, you know what I'm saying, what you did, what you're trying to bring to the table, what you want from, you know, individuals, all of that stuff. When you come in there with the super honesty, whether people, you know, because there's also risk involved in being like super honest, because you run the risk of turning people off or rubbing people the wrong way, or, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe you won't attain what you want to attain because you were honest, and then that honesty led to somebody not rocking with you like that, or disagreeing or distancing themselves from you. You run that risk, but at the end of the day, at least they know where you stand and where you are and what's going on with you. So I'm loving moving in this space of, like, being honest and, like, you know, being true and, like, letting people know where I stand, letting people know, you're crowding me, you're getting on my nerves. I like this, I like that, I appreciate you for this. I'm not comfortable with this. I fell back because of this, or I'm feeling insecure about this. This is that and the third. So let's move in those spaces, man. Let's be honest. You know, let's lead with honesty instead of leading with lies. A lot of times people lead with lies, whether they small or big ones. A lot of people lead with lies. Even in the dating game, some people come in with the lies and deceptions right out the gate. And then you got to weed through what's true, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm trying to avoid all that. So, you know, let's do that, man. Honesty is a good time. It's really the best policy. They say honesty is the best policy, man. I think it's some truth to that. The Diddy situation. It's crazy, man. How much... You got to be bored to be doing all this, man. They found 100 bottles of baby oil and lubricant. And some AR-15 rifles. That, to me, screams like forced sex. Like, what you got the rifles in there for with the bottles of lubricant and baby oil? What's going on in here? Why we got armed guards? Who you got at gunpoint in here? And 1,000 bottles? You shouldn't have 1,000 bottles of nothing except for water and a survivalist bunker. That's the only time you should have 1,000 bottles of anything. Is if you in a survivalist basement somewhere and you're like, yo, man, the apocalypse is now. I got 1,000 bottles of water in there. All right, cool. So I'm like, yo, man, how bored do you have to be that sexual? Talking about the freak-offs. And, like, get to work. Do something constructive. Freak McNasty, man. What the hell is going on with the sex drive? And if your sex drive is this high, get into porn. Just get into porn. Just be P. Diddy in porn. You got a ski mask on. You can do all this kind of stuff. And everybody's a willing participant. Everybody's getting paid. Man, what are we doing here? Hit up, you know, some Bang Bros or Brazzers or somebody and be like, yo, man, let's create some content. I'm Freak McNasty, man. Let me get in on some of this. Just do that if that's what you all about. Because the word is going to get out, so you might as well do all your little freaky fantasies when everything's on the up and up. Everybody's getting tested. Everybody's willing. Everybody's, you know what I'm saying? If we're going to do this, what the hell is going on? How much sex you need? God damn, I'll be tired. I'll be tired on the sex. Because I work hard for the money in the bedroom. I work hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. I'll be trying to give the adequate work. And I can't just be doing that all the goddamn time. I don't want to phone in the pumps. And to be sitting here looking for it and needing it all the goddamn time, man, get to work. Get some work done. And I know you're filthy rich. You're filthy rich and filthy. But you're filthy rich also. So you already put the work in. But, man, come on. How much freakiness you need? Sit down somewhere. Raise your family, man. Build more wealth. Teach your kids how to acquire wealth and hold on to it on their own steam. It's so much more you could be doing. And then if you want to freak off, if you want an orgy like that, assemble some adult performers that are about this life. Have the money ready, the test results ready, and have a good time. All this other shit, man, what's going on? Because I don't want to be here and sit here and act like, you know, I'm Mr. Perfect. And nah, man, I enjoy group sex. Not being in it. Let me clear that up. Not like I haven't done an orgy. I don't think I want to anymore, but I really enjoy watching. That's my thing. I'll be posted up. Yeah. But then I don't know if I want to watch while I'm in the room with it. Now, I think I just like watching it from afar on the screen. But like to be in it, to be there in the sense.
I feel like he was not in it. He was watching.
Assemble, and recording. Assemble the adult performers.
That's what he was doing.
The performers?
It was like he would bring in a male person, but then would have a woman that he wants to see, like have sex with this person, and he would end up forcing it to happen.
See?
That's what I was reading through the court documents. That's essentially what they were saying.
That's what
they say it would go on for like the whole day.
See?
And they'd be so high on drugs they would need an IV to rehabilitate.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
That's insane, bro.
What are we doing here? I like to watch. But nah, man. Come on. It's just weird. Big weird. And you know, because I'm the type, I'm gonna be honest with you, like if I hear some smash going on in the hotel, which I rarely hear, y'all gonna be getting it in hotels like you should. I don't be hearing nothing, but when I do, I'll be like, they getting it in. Cause I'm nosy. I'm voyeuristic to a degree. But all that extra, bring him in. You sit on down. Top him. Nah, man, watch out. No. But I don't know, man. And now look at you, man. You on the chopping block. Is it all worth it? If we all have our things sexually, you know what I'm saying? We all have our things that we enjoy and we, you know, we into. And like I said, you know, my sex drive to actually go through the process of getting it in, when you work hard, when you play hard minutes, pause. I got to regroup. I got to re-up. I got to replenish. I need some space after that. Like, all right, just get off me. I'll see you next week. You know what I'm saying? Like all day. Even on the day when I ain't got nothing to do, man. Just all right, just get off me. It's hot. Another round? Oh, come on, man. Let me get my feet together, man. I'm sore. Y'all don't get sore? Y'all don't get sore. You never had those moments where you put in adequate work and then you get aroused again. Then it hurts on the re-arousal because you put in so much work and then it's like, it's sore when it thickens and then you flex and you're like, it's any muscle gets sore when it's worked. And your penis is the same. So this is a lot. It's a lot, man. Maybe I'm just too old and just like, maybe I'm winding down to just be into all of this. I don't know. But I'm just like, there's so many better ways, safer ways, mutual ways to get your rocks off. And switching gears though, in my final topic today, the house. I bought a house for the first time ever. I was nervous as hell. I was stressed, scared to death. I had cold feet every step of the way. I was just like, do I want to do this? Do I want to get? No, I'm not doing this. I'll do it. I don't want to do it. I was stressed, y'all, about this. And even now that the paperwork is signed, the deal is done, the keys have been handed, I'm still just like, did I make the right decision? This is overpriced. I'm still having those thoughts, but I'm excited. But at the same time, still just like, did I make the right move? Am I going to get ripped off? So I'm grateful. I'm feeling the love from the people. If y'all want to give me a housewarming gift, join my Patreon, subscribe to my YouTube, buy tickets to my shows. That's how you can gift me. That's the ultimate gift. Because I really want to downsize on the stuff that I have in this home. I don't want to have a lot of stuff. And I already feel like I got too much, especially clothing. Oh, my God. Clothing. So now, you know, I want to make sure this house is not haunted because I went in there yesterday and the power was out. They took the power off immediately. I was like, damn, the power was out. And I heard this noise in the ventilation up in the, it was like, it wasn't like that, but it was kind of like, I was like, what the heck? We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. So I got to make sure I'm not walking in a haunted situation, even though that's kind of a little bit my brand. That's something I'm into. It's something else I'm nerdy about is haunted houses. I'm still just like, all right, now I don't want no bullshit ass energy up in here. I'm coming in fresh. I don't want no bullshit energy up in here. So, you know, you always worry about that when you're coming into a new space. So, you know, I'm coming in with all the oils, all the sages, all the good stuff. You know what I mean? So I just want to get the house right. I want to get the energy flow good. I want to do all the things in that nature. I keep finding out that there's blacks in my district. There's blacks in my district, y'all. My neighbor's black. Lady across the street is black. Then I found out from my real estate lady that there's a black across the street on the other side. I was like, we out here, man. This is the south side of Chicago right here. So I feel better about that, because whether we admit to it or not, being black in America means that if we're not in the predominantly black neighborhood, in the back of our minds, when we move into a neighborhood, we think to ourselves, does this neighbor that's not black, do they want me here? Do they have anything against me and my people? How do they feel? Because the historical accuracy of white flight, redlining, that's real shit. There are literally countless, you know, incidents of people not wanting us in their neighborhoods, not wanting us to be their neighbors, not wanting us around at all. So we have to walk into a new home with this in the back of our minds. It sucks, but that's the reality of it. We don't know if we can trust you. As soon as we walk in, we don't know if we can trust you wanting us to be there. That was in the back of my mind before I even pulled the trigger on this house. I was like, man, what kind of neighbors am I going to have? Are they going to be looking at me like, there goes the neighborhood? Are they going to have any thoughts like that? Are they going to be like, oh, the blacks? Smile in my face like, hey. But on the underneath has some bullshit racism attached. We don't know. But in the back of our minds, we're like, until you prove us wrong, this is how we feel when we come into a situation. So when we do find out that we have black neighbors, and be real, you know, just because they're black, they still might not be for us. We don't know, but there's a level of comfort there when we see another black face. We're like, oh, all right, it's not just me. And that's the sad reality we deal with in America. And it sucks, but that's... When I saw I had black neighbors, I was like, whoo, huh, all right, yeah. I talked to him. I saw him when I was coming out of the garage. I saw him sitting in the car in his garage. I was like, yo, this is you? And I was just excited. I was just like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? And I felt more comfortable. I felt at ease. I felt like I talked to him for like 5 minutes. I was dapping him up too much, first of all. I gave him too many daps. I was like, man, you know what I'm saying? Came in several times with the daps. But I talked to him for 5 minutes. I've already talked to him longer than I've talked to my neighbor now, and I've lived there for 3 years now. It'll be 3 years next month. I've already talked to him more than I've talked to my neighbor in 3 years total. That's crazy. I don't know why I was so many daps, man. I was just excited. And then there's a black lady across the street. And then there's somebody else on the other side of the street. So I'm just like, oh, all right, cool. So it put me at ease. And it's sad, but that's the reality. That's how we feel as black Americans. And my origin story on me being comfortable with neighbors that look like me is this. I can tell you the exact origin story of why I think the way I think. Is when my dad moved to the suburbs of Chicago. When he moved to South Holland in the 80s, it wasn't that many black people out there at that time. And that's the first time I got called a nigga from a white person. That was the debut. From his next door neighbor's daughter. That was the debut. That was the moment. I was just like, oh, shit. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. I knew racism was out there. My brothers got chased out of Bridgeport back in the day. Bridgeport neighborhood, and got called niggas coming out of there. It's a neighborhood in Chicago. But for me, for it to happen to me, and the girl said it, she said it in like a way that was like, I can tell she meant no harm. She meant no offense. She's like, hey, nigga. Hey, nigga. Giving me less play energy. And that let me know in my little kid soul at that time, my brain, I was like, why does she say it like that? Like, why does she say it so nicely? And I already pieced together in my mind that, oh, her parents must talk like that. And so she said it to me thinking that's what it is. Because I can tell she meant no malice when she said it. But that just proved that her parents taught her that. So now, that's a family next door to my dad and my stepmom that's on that bullshit. They right next door. So I was like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Because I grew up south side of Chicago. Everybody's black. Everybody. Everybody was black. If I saw any white people, I had to go all the way downtown, or it might be one or two white teachers at my school. Whole student body was black. All my neighbors are black. We borrowing sugar, we borrowing Kool-Aid, we borrowing butter, we borrowing eggs. We just communicating. It's a community, and we all look the same. So there's a comfort there. And so when I go outside of that and then to experience that right next door to my dad, I'm just like, oh, shit. They don't want us around, or they think we niggas. And so you carry that. So now, you know, growing up and moving to different places, I still always had that mindset of, do you want us here? And it sucks. So that's what I was going through with this move, was just like, all right, who am I going to be next to? How are they going to view me? It's not that I'm losing sleep over it, but it's like, I don't trust you yet. You know what I'm saying? You got to prove to me that, you know, and even then I'm still just kind of like, what we talking about? Because I do love a good neighbor community. I do love like knowing my neighbors and having like a relationship and a rapport with the people I live amongst. I like having that. But, you know, I got to feel comfortable within that. So I was just relieved to see that. And I was like, all right, okay, I'm not the token. I don't want to be the token. And that felt good. Because I know on my end, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming with, you know, knowledge and understanding and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate different cultures and races and stuff like that. So when you move into my neighborhood, I'm not looking at you like, oh man, they gonna fuck it up. I might look at you like, you decent? You know what I mean? You good? You rock with us? And that's the extent of it. But, so I was relieved. But that's just something we worry about as black people and black homeowners, especially because, you know, we locked in. So that made me feel a lot better. I was like, oh, man, right next door, because the house next door is close. So it's like, oh, man, oh. Mad daps. Anyway, man, let me get the hell up out of here, man. Sorry, I went on several tangents today. I'm just sick of the bullshit, man. Sick of the bullshit all across the board. All right. But also, if you call me silly, that's how you get on my good side. I appreciate the patron saints for being up in here, even though y'all are biased. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm kidding. Spread the word about verbal cardio, man. Get the word out. Get the word out, man. Tell everybody. Put the baby oil up. Put the lubricants up. Tell everybody about verbal cardio, man. You feel me? Spread the word, man. Get the word out. I'm pouring a lot into this podcast. I want it to grow. I want it to flourish. You know what I'm saying? If you want to give me something for my housewarming, join my Patreon. Subscribe to my YouTube. Like and comment. Share. Run my numbers up on everything. When I come to your city, buy the tickets fast. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't lollygag. Buy your tickets fast. These are true housewarming gifts for me. Truly, truly, truly. I appreciate y'all, man. Shout out to the patron saints, man. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I care about y'all lives, your hopes and dreams, your families and all that, man. I'm so glad y'all are here. Thank you for the listeners for tuning in. Shout out to Amir on the ones and twos and the input. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.